Book of Exodus, chapter 11, starting from verse 1.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people.
And God is saying to Moses, I will bring one more plague upon the Pharaoh and upon the Egyptians. But they will force you. Go, please go. Get out of our land. Up to now, Moses didn't know what is God's plan. God already told him, if you remember, let's read the Exodus chapter 3, verses 19 to 22.
And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians.
God told Moses this is the earlier before he could go and talk to Pharaoh. God told him, I will do signs and wonders and miracles. I will harden the heart of Pharaoh. But in the end, he will let you go. Not only just say go, but he will force you to go, get out of their town or get out of their country. And when this thing happens, let your family members and other people say, go and borrow the clothes, silver and gold. Put the silver and golds and everything on your children, and this is the way you're going to spoil the Egyptian, just like you go to war and get everything from the people who are defeated. And so he says that's the way you're going to do it. And then he tells him how he's going to do. He's going to have favor. The people will not thinking they are forcing them to give them something by force, but those people will give willingly. They will say, please take this. As soon as you say, oh, could you give me a bangle? They say, oh, you take bangle and this rings and whatever, they are necklaces and things like that. They will give willingly. But just ask, just like the word of God says, ask and it shall be given unto you. So he said, you ask and they will give it to you. But I am the one going to put it in their heart a favor. Now this God told him earlier, and now almost nine plague or nine miracle came and nothing happened yet. They did not give silver and gold. They did not say go. We will be learning after this chapter is finishing how many times Pharaoh changed his heart or changed his mind. Already God did so many miracles. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. The last miracle they saw of darkness. And Pharaoh said to Moses, get out of my sight, and if I see you next time, I'm going to kill you. And that's the way we learned the chapter last week. But here, God gives a warning to Pharaoh. And still getting warning, he's not listening. And so God gave the last warning. But before he giving the warning to Pharaoh, he's telling Moses again, this is the one last plague. And so Moses believes what God says. Because up to now, whatever God said, he did it. And so he did miracles. They saw the miracles. Now he's saying this is the last one. When you see this miracle, before that happens, because this miracle is going to happen in the midnight. You cannot go midnight and asking people, give me silver and gold or your clothes. It will be too dangerous and too difficult. So before the last plague happens, God tells Moses, you tell your people, go and ask these people, give silver and gold and jewelries and everything, ask from your neighbors. And so I think all these Israeli people, they worked these many years, they didn't have good clothes, they didn't have silver and gold, they didn't have the money, and they had lots of problems because they were working hard, and these Israeli people worked as a slave. But all the money, Pharaoh and his people took it from Israeli people's hard work and did not give them the good salary. But God is saying to Moses, just like I saved all your money in the bank, in Egyptian's bank, all the silver, all the gold, all the good clothes, I kept it for you. There are some people, they buy expensive clothes and they never wear. They said, I'll wear it for my wedding or wear it for my birthday or something. And they buy precious things and keep it. God says, I'm going to tell these people to give it to you. So whatever they worked hard and they didn't save the money, now they are going to get everything in return. That's what the word of God says. If the enemy takes anything from you, you will get it back. And this is one of the examples. God is telling his people, go and ask, and they will give it to you. And verse 3, he says, read that verse.
And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people.
Now he says, the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of Egyptians. Now how he did it? He's saying Moses was highly respected in Pharaoh's servant. Even the Pharaoh was angry at Moses all the time, but his servants got the message that our king is bad, he's not listening, and because of our king, we are suffering. So they had a lot of respect for Moses. Just think, if the Moses wanted to be a president there, it will be easy. He could defeat Pharaoh very easily because his servant and all the nation's people were having respect for Moses. But Moses was not looking any Pharaoh's kingdom. He said when he was young, he gave up all the Pharaoh's luxury and he wanted to suffer with the children of God. And this is his time. Now he suffered a lot. Now this is the time to get all the silver and all the gold and all the good clothes and everything and get out of the country. And so God says, I'm going to put a favor in their heart. And they did. Let's read the verse 4.
And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts.
Now, here God is saying to Moses, what I'm going to do, tonight, midnight, Pharaoh's first son, his servants and captains and everybody's first son, even the person who is a maid or servant, or people who are grinding in the mill, means very poor servant, their first son will die. Not only that, the beasts, horses, cattle, camels, donkeys, sheep and goats, their firstborn also will die. And so this will be the horrible night. And so God is telling Moses, this is what I'm going to do. Verse 6.
And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more.
He says there will be great cry. People will be crying for their firstborn. everybody's house there is a death. There was not a single house would say there was no death in my family. Only people will say there is no death in the family. There will be a second son, never married, didn't have any children. Those people will not die. But every person who, someone is the first son of somebody. And so there were so many people were going to die. And this is the plan God is giving to Moses. This is what's going to happen. And this is, I'm going to do it tonight, midnight. And he says, people will be crying and weeping. This kind of problem will not come in future and did not happen before. But he says, this never happened before, will never happen again, this kind of cry. Verse 7.
But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel.
Now this is very important. God says, I keep the distance or difference between you and your enemy. Whatever happens to your enemy, I will not allow you to happen to you or your children. So sometimes, you know, people having problems, people are dying, many disaster happens, and you get scared. We don't have to be afraid. Psalm 91, he says, thousands and ten thousands left and right, dying, plague and all kinds of sickness and disease, but it will not come to you or come upon you. But the believers, they are afraid. And the fear is against faith. If you're afraid that something is going to happen to me, it will happen. We saw in Job was prosperous. He had all the money and animals and servants and everything. But every day he was doing sacrifice, and he says, something might happen to my children. They might die. Maybe my property will be burned. Maybe something enemy will do. And because of that, he was doing fearfully. Even though God gave him everything, but he was not enjoying. He was living in fear. There are people, billionaires and millionaires, and if they are not a Christian, they live with fear. Somebody is going to kill me. They cannot eat good food. They cannot travel anywhere because they have fear. The fear can kill people without any reason. People get heart attack. And so there are people dying because of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and sound mind. So once we have a sound mind, we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Word of God says Jesus is our head and we are his body. So if Jesus is Lord of our life, then we don't have to be afraid of anybody. The Word of God says your life should be transformed. Let's read the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
See, first, Paul is saying, I am begging you, I am requesting you, I am urging you, what you do, you give your body as a living sacrifice to God. Then somebody says, do I have to kill myself or something? No. He says, you have to dedicate your life to God. There are so many people are born again, but they are not sold out to God. They are not living for God. So once I give my life to Jesus, and then I say, Lord, you are Lord of my life, and whatever the decision I make, whatever I do, I want to please you. This body is not for me. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20.
What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
See, here is saying, once you have the Spirit of God, or Holy Spirit living in you, your body is the temple of the living God, and that body is not yours anymore. how this body becomes the temple of God and why our body is not our own, he says in the verse 20.
For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
See, here he's saying Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and he purchased us with his blood. The word of God says in Book of Acts also, he says he has purchased the church with his blood. So we are belong to Jesus Christ. So he said, if you are belong to Jesus Christ, then your bodies belong to Jesus Christ. So you have to glorify God with your body, with your soul, and with your spirit, because this is belong to God. If someone says, I'm a born-again child of God, that means I am belong to God. Go back to the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Once we are belong to God, then our body is belong to God, and we are going to give our body as a living sacrifice. Why is a living sacrifice? That means God do not want your dead body. Dead body means dead works. If you do wrong thing, that kind of sacrifice God doesn't want. In book of Proverbs chapter 28 verse 9, he says, if you do not listen to God, do not obey God and bring the sacrifice or your offering is abomination to God. Okay, so let's go and read verse 2. Romans chapter 12 verse 2.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
So what he's saying, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means when you are born again child of God, you are not belong to the world you were before. Now once you receive Jesus Christ, then you're going to renounce the world, renounce the bad habit. It doesn't happen automatically. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Once Jesus comes in, the enemy goes out. And so once we are new creation, old things are passed away. So we have a desire to give up. Some people say, well, I made Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I don't want him to be my Lord. Lord means he's your master. He's telling you what to do. So once you are born again, we have to have renewed mind. So renewed mind comes once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That means we get the mind of Christ. Once we get the mind of Christ, then we will work like him, because then we are a child of God, we have the Spirit of God, we have the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and we are going to please God according to the Word of God. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. People say, I don't know what God wants from me, and I don't know the will of God. Why? Because you are living in the flesh, you are pleasing the flesh, and you are not pleasing God. That's why you do not have clear cut what God wants you from you. Once you are not living in the flesh, you are living in the Spirit, you are led by Christ or led by the Spirit of God, then you have clear mind. And then you know what the will of God is. God wants people to be healed, delivered, and set free. God wants you to go and preach the word of God to the whole world. And so we have to be always ready. And so how can we do it? As the Lord provides the need and gives the avenues to do it, we do. But we have to say, Lord, here I am. I am available. I am your vessel. And I want to be useful. And so here we see, once we are the children of God, then God gives us a grace to live clean and holy life. And God separates the enemy from us. Then you don't have to worry about enemy. Enemy has no power over you. He keeps the hedge of protection. The blood of Jesus Christ surrounds you. The angels, they surround you. You don't have to worry. We have to reject and rebuke that fear. Here God is saying, I'm going to make a distance, separation from you and the Egyptian people. And they saw this many 9 miracles happen. Even the thick darkness in Egyptian people, but these people had the light. So these people now learn that God is protecting us, no more making bricks, no more hardship, no more hard work, and now they are seeing enemy is tormented and how the God is punishing the enemy. And so he is saying this verse 7, nothing will happen to your children, nothing will happen to your animals, a beast. He says not even dog will move his tongue. Means what? Dog will not bark. Why the dog barks? Dog barks if some strangers comes to your house, or the stranger coming and knocking at door, when the enemy comes. So he said they will be so peaceful. Other people will be crying and worried, and they might be banging on their head or chest and crying loud. But he says in your house, and they will be peace. Why we have to live in fear and anxiety? Our days are counted. God is protecting us. We should live peaceful life. We should not be living like a Job. Job had everything, but he is still tormented in his mind, worried in his mind. Something will happen to my children. Something will happen to my property. Somebody will do some wrong to me. And so he said, whatever I was worried about, I was fearful about, those things came to me. And so we should be rebuking. If the thought comes, the devil tried to bring you thought, I'm going to do this and do that, we have to say, nothing is going to happen to me because I'm a child of God. Many times, I forgot the door key outside the door and came inside. Many times, I forgot the garage door stayed open whole night. The point I'm making, we didn't do purposely, but God was showing, see, I kept your car safe, I kept your house safe, even though you forgot your key outside the door. So that's what the God is showing here. You do not have to be afraid. You are my people, you are chosen people. I have chosen you, I'm going to deliver you, I'm going to be with you. And this is the lesson he is showing, how God is going to take care of them. Let's go back to the Exodus chapter 11, verse 8.
And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down thyselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger.
Now here, God says, go and tell the Pharaoh. He already told everything to Pharaoh. What's going to happen? This is what God is going to do. And your firstborn is going to die. Your animals are going to die. Your each and every servants and their firstborn will die. And then he says, you remember, Pharaoh said, get out of my sight. If you come next time, I'm going to kill you. Pharaoh is so mad. Now he's going to bow down to Israeli God. He's going to bow down to Moses, because Moses was Pharaoh's God. God said, I'm going to make you the God of Pharaoh. And so now we learn Pharaoh's people, they were having so much respect for Moses, and all the people, they had respect for Moses. And now Moses already told these people, the time will come, you will bow down to us. The word of God says, Pharaoh was very angry. Verse 9.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt.
Now, God is telling Moses, Pharaoh is not going to listen to you. If Pharaoh would have said, okay, go, 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 I know this many miracles you said and it happened. And now my son is going to die, my first son, and my servant son and everybody is going to die. I don't want this thing to happen. Go. But instead of that, he said he was angry what Moses said. He didn't do anything yet. If he would have said, okay, you people go, take everything, take the silver, take the gold, take everything, then their firstborn will not die. But this has to happen. So somebody will say, why God is so cruel? Why God is still hardening the heart of Pharaoh. We learn, Book of Romans, he says, I will show my power on this vessel who is prepared for wrath. So God uses certain people, but not because they are good, because they are bad. Esau lost his blessing, and God says, I hate Esau. Now somebody says, why God hates Esau? God did not start hating Esau right away, but his deeds were bad. He married heathen people. So many things he did wrong. The same way, Cain and Abel, they were all children of Adam, but God says, I reject Cain. Somebody says, why? Because he did not want to obey God. God says, bring the blood sacrifice. He said, I'm not going to bring blood sacrifice. I will bring the grain and fruits and vegetables. But if you deny the commandment of God, then God says, I reject you. That's why we read in Matthew chapter 5, he says, you bring the offering and you did something wrong to your brother or anybody, leave your offering. I don't need your offering. What I need, your heart to be changed. I want you to listen to me, love your brother, and live a peaceful life. That's what I want, not your offering. And so, here he's saying, Pharaoh's heart was hardened because he was worshipping heathen gods. He never said anywhere, this many times, so many miracles happened, so many plagues happened. You never read anywhere, anytime. He even says, forgive me, I committed sin, you pray for me, and I made a mistake, my people are wicked. Everything he said. But that is nothing in the sight of God. What God wanted, you are doing idol worship. When you do idol worship, that means you hate the God who created you. And you worshiping the creation of God. So God wanted Pharaoh to say, I renounce my God. I renounce my idol worship. And I'm going to worship the Jehovah God. Everything would have been changed. But he did not want the Israeli God. You remember in Babylon, when Babylonian king saw God did a miracle, he said, I make a decree. Worship the Daniel's God. His God is the right God. The point I'm making, God hardened his heart to show his power and glory, not because he was a good person, but because he was an idol worshiper. God is not going to forgive any idol worshiper automatically. Even though they say, oh, we are sorry, we did idol worship, doesn't mean anything. They have to renounce that idol worship and worship the living God. Pharaoh never did it. And that's why this is just a sample. How God shows his anger on the people who worship the idol gods. In the time of tribulation, as well as the time of last judgment, all the people who rejected Christ, who did the idol worship, who worshiped the other gods, or who worshiped the Antichrist, took the mark 666, those all people, after taking mark, they can ask forgiveness, they can cry, they can do anything. But once the mark is done, they are doomed forever. And some people might be thinking, oh, I'm going to take a fake mark and deceive the Antichrist. You are wrong. There are movies there. They say they took a plastic fake mark 666 and they said, we already took the mark. That enemy is not that fool. He is going to say that's not the real mark. And he will put the mark. That is not the right thing to do. We have to sold out to Jesus Christ. That's what we read a few minutes ago. Our heart, our mind should be sold out to Jesus. If somebody comes and says, if you don't worship our God, we are going to kill you. I'm not going to worship their God to just be safe. My God is greater than their God. My God has more power than their God. So when I was in India, I was not afraid of anybody. I went to their Hindu temple and Muslim mosque. I know there's a danger there, but I knew my God is greater than their God. And so here we see Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and every firstborn was killed, and so many other religious people will say, your God is a bad God. Your God is killing innocent people. What did the baby do? Why this little children die, and why the other people died? Here the word of God is saying, God gave the warning, right? Once the warning is given and you don't take the warning, then you are in fault. Sometimes, you know, that's your radio and television give the siren, give the warning, there will be hurricane and houses will be demolished. We have half an hour or 1 hour to get out of your houses, and you don't listen the warning, then what? Then you get problem. I am believing, I don't have to be afraid, God will protect me. But here these people did not have any protection because they were idol worshiper. They were giving the warning and everything. So if somebody comes to you and says, you know what, your God did this and God did this and your God is not merciful, tell them, read the book. He gives the warning. He wanted these people to change, but they don't listen. That's why our God is love. Our God is consuming fire. He sent his son and he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But following verses, if you read, if they deny him, then they will be condemned. And so if anybody do not listen to God, and then the final judgment, God is going to put them in a hellfire, not for 1 day or 2 day, eternity. That's why we come in. We are telling people, please listen. You don't have to go to eternal hellfire. This is the time to repent. This is the time to listen. This is the time to follow Christ. And if you don't, then you are going to go to eternal hellfire. Noah, how many years he was preaching? 120 years. Can you imagine? 120 years and nobody listened. Then what? A flood came and everybody was destroyed. And the people who read that, see how God is not merciful. Your God is killing people. He killed the whole world, and then he killed the Sodom and Gomorrah, and he is planning to kill more people. Why don't you listen? You have all this in front of you. You should be turning your life to God. You should not be stubborn like Pharaoh. This is an example. If you be stubborn like Pharaoh, your end will be destruction. And so here, this the firstborn is dying. But they are not finished there. You're reading in 13, 14 chapters. They still go after Israeli people to kill them. And what happened? They will be whole army of people will be destroyed. And so these people never learned their lesson. And so here the word of God is saying, Pharaoh was angry and his heart was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Let's read the verse 10.
And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land.
Now, this is the way the chapter ends. Pharaoh hardened his heart, and he did not allow the children of Israel to go. Then somebody says, that means they didn't go. No. This 11th chapter was the preparation for the children of God. Go and ask the people silver and gold and jewelry, and I will have favor in your side, and you go and get it. And all the people are respecting Moses, and all the servants of Pharaoh, they're respecting. And so according to this, they got everything. We will be reading later on. But they got silver, gold, and good clothes. And even in this chapter, they said they did not allow him to go because the last miracle has to happen. Now we are going to go back and see. First of all, we see how many times Pharaoh said, I let you go, but did not allow to go. Go to the Exodus chapter 8, verse 8.
Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs for me and for my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord.
Now this is the first time when he see frog everywhere, he says, Let your people go. And this is the first time in chapter 8, verse 8, he says, You go. But he changed his mind. Exodus chapter 8, verse 25.
And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land.
Okay, now this is second time. He says, You want to go? Go sacrifice to your Lord, but stay in our land. Don't go further than our land. And we learn already why he was saying, and we already learn about that. But I'm just giving him the point. First time he says, Go. He didn't say where to go and how to go. Second time he says, If you want to go, go, but stay in our land. Do sacrifice here. And Exodus chapter 8, verse 28.
And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me.
You see, first of all he says, Do it in our land. Then he said, Now if you want to go in the wilderness, go, but don't go too far. So he was changing his mind one after another and trying to tell the children of Israel, you want to go, do it in this land. If you want to go, don't go too far. And so this is the third time he said go, but did not allow to go. Exodus chapter 9, verse 28.
Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer.
Now, this is the fourth time. He said, I don't want thundering, I don't want lightning, go, and you don't stay in our land too long. This is the fourth time, but he still changed his mind. Chapter 10, verse 7.
And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, How long shall this man be a snarer unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go?
Now see, he said, You want to go? Go. I want to know who are the people are going. Let's read up to 11.
And Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence.
Now, this is a fifth time. He says, Go, but don't take everybody. Just take the men and go. Now, chapter 10, verse 24.
And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you.
Now this is the sixth time. He says, Take your wives, your children, and everybody, but keep the flocks here. That's the time six. The sixth time, this is already done. Now the seventh time when he said go, that's final. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 31 to 33. That will be coming next chapter.
And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We be all dead men.
Exodus chapter 12, verse 31 to 33, he agrees that people should go. Now, that we learn, six times he changed his mind, seventh time he let go. First plague, Exodus chapter 7, verse 17 to 20, that was the blood. That's number one. Exodus chapter 8, verses 4 to 7, that's the second plague of frogs. Exodus chapter 8, verse 16 to 19, the lies, that third a plague. Exodus chapter 8, verse 24, this is the flies, that's the fourth plague. Exodus chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, the disease came to animal and all their cattle, and they start dying. That is the fifth plague. Exodus chapter 9, verse 10 and 11, the boils came on people and animal. That was the sixth plague. Exodus chapter 9, verse 22 to 27, hail came, hail and fire and those kind of things. That was the seventh miracle. And Exodus chapter 10, verse 12 to 17, locusts came. That is the eighth miracle or eighth plague. Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 to 23, darkness came on Egyptians. That's the ninth miracle. And the 12th miracles we are going to see following chapter, chapter 12, Exodus chapter 12, verses 29 to 30, that will be death in their family, starting from Pharaoh's firstborn to the servant's firstborn to the animal's firstborn. So you can see God did so many miracles, so many warnings, and the person did not listen. So this is an example for us. If God gives us a warning, we should listen to his warning. If God tells us or gives us some kind of direction, you listen to it. If you don't listen to God and the God's punishment comes, then it's too late. The people get so stubborn and they don't listen, then the sudden destruction comes. How it happens? There are people told, people don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. They don't listen. When they're driving, accident or some kind of disaster, or somebody comes and kills them, and finish. No time to repent, no time to think, sudden destruction. You have seen people sitting in their hotel and plane comes and crashes on them without their knowing, or somebody sitting in their porch and somebody's pickup truck comes and kills them. People are dying just standing on the street and they get hit by bullet. So the point I'm making, we have to be always ready. There is no time. People will say, oh, I'm too young to give my life to God. I want to live 50 or 60 and do all things I want to do, and then I'll change. How do you know that you're going to be 50 or 60? There are teenagers dying. Go to the children's hospital. Their babies are dying. Teenagers are dying. Adults are dying. People are dying everywhere. And so there is no security, there is no warning that you are going to leave such and such a day. You go to the hospital and you have disease. They're going to do surgery. They have big forms. They are going to say you are going to die in this surgery. There is no guarantee. You have to take a chance and say, okay, if I die, I die. You are not going to sue us. No, we are not going to sue you. We are going to do willingly. Yes, I'm willing to do all this paper you sign. And sometimes you don't know what you're signing. They just say, sign here, sign here, sign here. And you just sign it. And when something disaster happens and somebody wants to sue them, they say, sir, this is what you agreed. And you cannot sue them again. So the point I'm making, there is no guarantee. The word of God says it is appointed man wants to die after that judgment. But for us, there is no judgment. If you are a believer, he says you pass from death unto life and there is no condemnation. How much more we need a blessing? We just say yes to Jesus Christ, Lord, I'm going to live for you and I'm going to love you, I'm going to follow you. You have the protection. Your name is written in heaven. You have guarantee. Eternal life, as long as you stay in the blood of Jesus Christ. There are people will say, oh, you do anything and you will be still go to heaven. No, Read in the Bible. He says, you be faithful until death. You have to be faithful until death. You cannot get blessings just became being in the church, or mother gave you name John or James or something, and because of that name you're going to get automatically, God is saying, okay, all James and Peters and Mary and all people are come because your name is Christian. He's not going to call like that. He's going to call if your heart is changed. If you gave me your life, my servant preached, you heard the radio, you heard the TV, you read in the Bible, and you never repented. You never took the baptism. You never filled with the Holy Spirit. You never gave witness to anybody. You never win one souls for me. And so what answer we will have? So God has given us this example in the Word of God. We don't want to be like Pharaoh. We want to be like Moses, obey God, give up the Pharaoh's to call luxury, and suffer with the children of God. And that's why his name is in book of Hebrews, like Bible heroes. We should be always ready. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God. Lord Jesus, give us grace to be ready and make other people ready for your soon coming. In Jesus' name we pray, and we call it done. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.